and paracetamol. You've probably got a packet of paracetamol in the bathroom cupboard or carry it with you. It's a funny drug because no one's quite sure how it works. And like many painkillers, analgesics, the evidence about how effective it is mixed. That's why an Australian research group, which has previously shown and talked about it on the Health Report, that paracetamol is pretty ineffective when it comes to low back pain. But the group has cast its net further to see what evidence exists for other kinds of pain. The lead author of the paper, recently published in the Medical Journal of Australia, is Dr. Christina Abdel-Shahid. Welcome to the Health Report, Christina.
Thank you, Norman.
What did you do in this study?
We examined the evidence for the effectiveness of paracetamol compared with placebo for 44 different pain conditions. And basically what we found was that for four conditions, there is compelling evidence to suggest it's more effective than placebo. For one condition, which is acute low back pain, there's compelling evidence it doesn't work better than placebo. And remarkably, for the remaining 39 conditions, there is question marks as to whether or not the medicine does work.
So what are the four conditions where it works?
So the four conditions vary quite markedly. So we observed that paracetamol is efficacious in tension headache, perineal pain following childbirth, knee and hip osteoarthritis, and also craniotomy, which is the removal of part of the skull.
Well, while you might feel in a bad headache that you've had a craniotomy, that's not a common one. Why should you get this variation between types of pain? I mean, if one orthopaedic condition, knee and hip osteoarthritis, works, why not low back pain? Is it the quality of the research, or do you think it's the Panadol?
It's a good question, and basically we know that different pain responds differently to certain treatments. We also know that pain behaves in very different ways. So even with musculoskeletal pain in general, when it's localized, it might be different, you know, one part of the body to the other, it might respond differently to pain medicines. We're still sort of understanding how different pain medicines work across the different pain conditions, and we're mapping that out. But it's an interesting question, and definitely worth investigating further.
Of course, it's a very subjective thing to measure.
Absolutely. Pain is very subjective in general, and different people have different pain thresholds. So some people will take medicine when they are in extreme pain, for instance, and other people will take the medicine when they're feeling very slight pain. But what is extreme and what is slight to one person might vary to the next. So that's something we have to appreciate as clinicians and researchers. And also their response to and how they report improvements to pain varies. So it is a very subjective outcome.
Makes comparing studies hard.
Yeah, and what we did, which was advantageous in our study, is that looking at the studies, most of them used a common instrument. So they looked at pain, usually on a 0 to 10 point pain scale. So it's a continuous outcome measure.
Well, 10 is the worst pain you've ever had in your life.
That's correct. And 0 is no pain at all. And when the studies used a different continuous measure, what we did is we standardized it all so that we could look at the pain responses uniformly and make comparisons across the different pain conditions.
And interestingly, they mostly studied single doses of paracetamol rather than multiple. I mean, most people, if they get a headache or they've got pain, they'll have it, you know, every 6 hours for at least a day or so.
Yeah, that's the surprising finding we found from this review as well. So you're right. Most people who do take paracetamol will often take a short course over a couple of days. And what we found was that a lot of the evidence actually evaluated a single dose, which doesn't reflect typical use of the pain medicine. And it tells us very little about the regular use of paracetamol for pain control. And also, it doesn't tell us much about the use of paracetamol for a lot of chronic pain conditions out there.
What about the risks?
So the risks if paracetamol is taken within the recommended limits, the risks are generally pretty small, and that's widely accepted. However, what a lot of people may not realise is that in overdose, even if the overdose is only very slight, paracetamol can quickly become one of the most dangerous drugs.
Because it damages the liver.
It damages the liver, and even as little as 2 tablets in excess of the maximum recommended has resulted in liver damage, liver failure. And it's something that can easily happen when people get confused about the different formulations that are out there. So, for example, the long-acting preparation, which is the Osteo, the maximum for those is 6 a day, not 8 like your standard paracetamol tablets. And so 2 tablets in excess of, you know, the 2 extra tablets of the Osteo can be potentially quite harmful.
So what are we to do with this information and our box of paracetamol in the bathroom cabinet?
Well, basically, our study showed that there's a lot of uncertainty around the effectiveness of the medicine. And there's a couple of options that people, consumers have. And one of them is to, you know, where there is uncertainty, to consider using the medicine and see if it helps. The other option is to see if there is a better known alternative. And if there is, to consider using that first. And the third option, of course, is not to take the medicine and just see how their pain goes. So there are options out there for people. It's just important for them to, if they are going to consider to use paracetamol, that they use it within the recommended limits and to be aware which formulation they're using.
Christina, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Norman.
Dr. Christina Abdul-Shahid is in the School of Public Health at the University of Sydney.